Okay, aren't you glad it's Christmas time? I mean, I love Christmas time, and it's a time to it's a time to remember, obviously, the Savior's birth, but it's also a time to remember what's important to you, which God has given us, and our families, our jobs, and just especially during this Christmas and holiday season. In your Bibles, you will turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. And it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. When the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Father, we come before you thanking you for this season. That even though there are parts of our world and in our world today that is secularized Christmas, Lord, I'm thankful that we as a society still celebrate it and remember it. And so, Lord, I pray if there's someone here that has not heard or is familiar with the Christmas story, that they'll open their hearts to what your Spirit wants to show them here today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the gift of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you want for Christmas this year? If you were to ask a typical little boy, he might say a bike, he might say Legos, he might say a dinosaur robot. Well, there was this one boy I heard about. He wanted an Apple Watch. An Apple Watch. And he had been bugging his parents for an Apple Watch, a watch for Christmas. So finally, he mentioned it so many times that his dad said, "If you mention that again, you're not going to get anything. Quit bugging us." You know what I'm talking about, parents? You've been there. You're like, if you say another word, we're going to give you a gift to the orphanage here in a second. You know what I'm saying? You love your kids. Not that I would ever be there. Quit bugging us. Quit bugging us. And that same night, they asked him to lead in prayer before dinner. And he asked, "I'd like to quote scripture, Dad, if that's all right." Feeling proud of his son, he said, "Go right ahead." So he said, "Dad, I'm going to quote Mark 13:37. So he started to say, "I say unto you what I've already told you before, watch for him." His father could do nothing but grin. We spend most of our Christmas season searching for the perfect gift, searching for bargain, searching for that right decoration, searching for a parking spot. And many people at the first Christmas miss Christmas. They miss Christmas because they were too busy. They were busy looking for other things. The politicians missed the first Christmas. The business community missed the first Christmas. The innkeeper missed the first Christmas. Could you imagine later on if that innkeeper, maybe he's in heaven. I don't know. Maybe you go to hell if you reject Jesus from being born in your inn. I don't want to be that guy with that knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's some regret there. But even the religious establishment missed it. They missed the first Christmas. They were looking at other things. The only people who enjoyed the first Christmas 2,000 plus years ago, were the people who were looking for it. The angels, they told the shepherds, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And what did the shepherds go? What did they decide to do? Let's go. Let's go see. And they found Jesus because they believed the angels. They found Jesus because they decided to search for him. Later on, another group, the wise men, found Jesus. If you have your finger here, we'll come back here to Luke, but I want us to take a look here, okay? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to see these wise men here in chapter 2. They are looking for Jesus. In verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. In other words, the Messiah, the one they had been looking for. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by this prophet. Notice this. Now, listen, maybe you're here and you're a doubter about Jesus Christ. You're a doubter. It is a fact, historically, even secularly, that Jesus lived, right? And so maybe you're here and you're a doubter whether he is the Savior, whether he is the Christ. I want you to notice something. Here's something that was written 400 plus years prior in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, about where Jesus, the Messiah, would be born. And remember, they were not from Bethlehem. They traveled to Bethlehem, not because they really wanted to, but because they had to pay their taxes. They wanted to obey. And so here we see prophecy. It says, but you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. I'm telling you, if you just study the prophecy about Jesus' birth, it will encourage your faith. It will build your faith. And if you're searching here this morning, if you just study the prophecy about his birth, I think you'll come to the same conclusion if you go in with an open mind. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one the prophets spoke of. And so what's so special about Christmas? Folks, it's about what you find. Christmas is every year. Maybe for you, the memories make Christmas special. Maybe it's the Christmas tree. Maybe it's the gifts. Maybe it's the music. Maybe maybe it's all of the above. You're going to find what you're looking for. The Bible says that seek and you will find. And whatever you're looking for, you'll end up finding it. Regardless of who you are, the rich, the poor, or whatever you do for a living, Christmas is for everyone. And God has something for you. And this Christmas, God wants to give you three Christmas gifts to unwrap. First one is unwrap peace. To be more specific, unwrap peace through forgiveness. Luke 2, verse 11 says, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Underline that Savior part. Savior. Who is Christ the Lord. Jesus, listen, he didn't come to scare us. He didn't come to scare us. He came to save us. Amen? He came to save us. Why do we need a Savior? Why do we need a Savior? Why do we need someone to save us? The Bible says that heaven is a perfect place. There are no mistakes, no inconsistencies. It is perfect. Because of that, only perfect people get to go there. Have you met any perfect people lately? If you are one, then we need to talk to you after the service. Because there are no perfect people. We know that. And if God let imperfect people into heaven, guess what? It wouldn't be perfect anymore. You know, I always tell people when they join our church, we're not a perfect church, but we have a perfect Savior. Amen? Amen. That's true. I also tell people this in our next steps class. If you find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll mess it up, including me. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect person. And that means this. That means that we don't stand a chance to get into heaven on our own.
regardless of your education, regardless of how good of a person you may be, whether you're a pastor like myself, whether you're a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, or just a good person in general, you have no chance of getting in on your own. So what God did, he came with plan B. He sent us a Savior. Somebody could that we could get in on someone else's ticket. That's the good news, because a Savior has been born. I heard about a little boy who wrote a letter to Santa Claus. And he wrote, "Dear Santa, there are three boys living at my house. Jeffrey is 2, David is 4, and Norman is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good sometimes. Norman is good all of the time. I am Norman." The problem is, none of us are Normans. None of us bat 1,000. None of us are perfect. And so none of us are always right. If we had a, I do have a giant screen behind me. The screen behind me. But we were to take this screen here, and we were to show everything that you said, thought, or did in your life this year, 2017, that God would not approve of. You know God wouldn't approve of. It was sin. Man, how many of we'd be so embarrassed for people to see that, wouldn't we? We're not perfect. We're not perfect. And yet God, he loves us. And we live with a sense of regret because none of us are perfect. And that's why we need a Savior. In a Christmas card years ago, I read that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, he would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so he sent a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Unto you is born a Savior, and you can be forgiven. That's the most precious, priceless gift you can get, a gift of a clear conscience. You can't buy that at a jewelry store. You can't find that online. You can't find that, but you can find it today. You can find it during Christmas time. To have your past forgiven, wiped clean, start over, be brand new, that's good news. And you may think to yourself, well, I have some things I need to work on before I can do that, before I make and ask Jesus to be my Savior, before I ask him to forgive me of my sins. Listen, God loves you just the way you are, but he refused to let you stay there. And see, you can't clean yourself up good enough, well enough, or have a long enough period of time to become presentable in God's sight, ultimately. You, me, and anyone else. You see, God, he's the one who cleans you. He makes you new. So just come to him as you are and let him do a work in your life. He'll do a much better job cleaning you up than you cleaning you up. I mean, how long do you go trying to clean up yourself? How long do you go till you realize, you know what? I'm not good at cleaning this mess up. But he is, amen? He is. He's great at it. Go to him. Acts 10:43 says, "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." In other words, forgiveness. Believe. Believe. Let it go. Let it go. How do you have Christ, how do you have him save you? Simply ask him, and he will. Here's the next thing for you. Unwrap. Unwrap peace of mind. Psalms 119:165 says, "Those who love your instructions and his teachings have great peace and do not stumble." Peace is a word in our world that is used a lot, but I don't know if we really, how many of us have never maybe possibly really have the foggiest idea of the meaning of peace. Our society doesn't really know, I believe, genuine peace. We're always in a hurry going here and there, and we're searching for peace. We want peace, but the peace that the world talks about really isn't the peace we're looking for. You see, people try to find peace in different ways. They do. And maybe that's you today. You see, people try finding peace of mind through drinking enough until they're so drunk that they fall asleep just without knowing they fall asleep. Other people, it means hopping from one relationship to another relationship just to try to fill that void in their life, and they never find peace. For some, it means being so busy, busy all the time, staying busy. You never stop. And so you're so busy, you wear yourself out until you just collapse on your bed and you fall asleep. And because any quiet that you deal with, the sense of loneliness comes into your mind. And so you just stay busy. You don't want to deal with it. For some people, it means working. You're a workaholic. You don't stop. You're working, you're overachieving. And so you can get the attributes of success to prove to the world that I'm somebody, while thinking inside, feeling like a nobody. Maybe that's you here this morning. For some people, it's trying a new age gimmick like crystals or sitting in a lotus position and saying, trying to get peace of mind and just being quiet. Maybe it's a certain type of religion for you, but you know it's not really truly bringing you peace in your heart. See, real peace of mind is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you will find true peace, through accepting Him. And here's the wonderful thing about the Bible, is that when God saves you, when He makes you new, and He brings you into the family of God, He's God your Father, and He loves you. And just as He made Abraham Abraham was a friend of God. God wants to be your friend as well. Imagine that. Have you ever thought about God that way? Of Him being your friend. He's your Savior. He is your Father. He is your friend. You see, real peace is knowing that no matter what I do, God will never stop loving me. Real peace is knowing that no matter what happens, God will never leave me alone by myself. He is always with me. Real peace means that no matter what happens in 2018, I know that God is going to give me the strength to handle it. Real peace is living by God's word, the Bible, so I can avoid a lot of needless hurts, hang-ups, and habits that mess up my life. Real peace is teaching my children God's word as a foundation for life, and then watching them grow up and make decisions, make Christ-like decisions that I'm proud of. And I see them making their decisions on their own to follow Jesus Christ. See, that's real peace. Everything else in the world does not equal that in what you find in Jesus Christ. There are some things that will rob you of peace of mind this Christmas. Here they are: guilt, grief, and grudges. Those are the three great destroyers of peace of mind. Guilt. You don't have to walk out of here with guilt. God says, I sent a Savior to wipe away your sins so you can be forgiven. Just like the Etch-A-Sketch. Anyone had an Etch-A-Sketch when you were a kid? I never could draw on those things. You ever see that one guy who could draw, and a couple different people, those artists, they could just do some neat things on that? Never me. But just like an Etch-A-Sketch, you can shift away through Jesus Christ. God will wipe it all away. He'll wipe away that ugliness, that guilt in which you dealt with. He'll shift it away and take care of it. Grief. If the truth were known, some of you are in major pain right now. Because when it comes to the holidays, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it comes to the New Year, it comes to Christmas, it really brings up hurtful memories. Maybe because you've lost a loved one who you just love dearly, and you're grieving. It's tough right now. Maybe it brings up the thoughts of a loved one, or a parent who abandoned you, or a divorce you went through, or the death of a spouse or a child. You have grief that robs you of joy and peace of mind. If that's the pain you're carrying, I'm sorry you hurt. I really am. But more than that, God cares about your hurt. He sees it. He knows it. And you were never meant to carry that grief all on your own. Never. You were never meant to carry that pain by yourself. You're never meant to handle that hurt on your own. God says, cast all your cares upon Him, for He will care for you. Do that today and receive the gift of peace. Cast it all on Him. give it to him. Maybe you're carrying it today. See, when it comes to grief, I found that people tend to do one of three things. And some of it depends on who you are, depends on your personality. Some of us take either anger or grief or those kind of things, and some of us are barriers. We just take it and we bury it until it becomes such a mountain in our life that it explodes. For some of us, we're carriers. We put it on our back, kind of like Santa Claus, right? And we carry it around, and the more we carry, the more woe we get, the more discouraged we get, the more it makes things difficult in life. For some of us, we are shedders. And kind of the water off the back of a duck, it just rolls right off, and nothing seems to bother them. But sometimes the unfortunate things, we also can ignore some things we should address in our life as well. That's what you know. God gives the gift of peace. Then there's grudges. That's being resentful. We feel guilty when we hurt others. We feel resentful or grudging when others hurt us. And when you will be hurt in life, and it's just a matter of fact. I mean, as we live this life, there are people who are going to hurt us. And I pray that we make a choice concerning our grudges. How do you respond to that hurt will determine your level of happiness in life. For your own sake, for your own hope, for your own peace of mind, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. See, Pastor, you don't understand how I was hurt. You're right, I don't. I don't. I don't know what you went through. I don't know the depth of hurt that you've had to deal with. But as you're dealing with that hurt, some of you are still letting people that hurt you now, and you're going to let them hurt you in the future, who are no longer part of your life because of something that happened in the past. You say, I can't let it go. And you know what? You might not be able to on your own. But Christ will help you. If you make him your Savior, make him your Lord, and you look unto him, he will help you let go of those grudges that are in your life. It's healthy for you. Spiritually, in your life and in your family, don't weigh down your family and miss out on the blessings of God. When Jesus is there just waiting, saying, hand it to me. Give it to me. You can find that peace this morning. You can have that peace of mind if you're willing to let Christ do what he said he would do. Here's another thing that you can unwrap here this morning. Is eternal life. You can unwrap it. Whether we like to talk about it or not, and not to be morbid this morning, but every one of us, we are going to die one day. It is a fact of life. It will come. We may not always know when that may be, but we know one day it's going to come. It's inevitable. It's going to come. And only someone who is foolish in their life will ignore that and ignore that and ignore that and never deal with that. That you need to think on it and go, okay, what is going to happen to me when I die? Because this is not all there is. There's much, much more. You're going to spend more of your life on that side of death than you will on this side. On the other side of death, you're going to spend the rest of your eternity in eternity. And only someone being foolish would go all through life unprepared for something they know that is coming like that. Here's the fortunate news. Christmas is about celebrating the birth of the Savior who was born to die for our sins. You see, the Advent here is a reminder of Christ's birth, but it's also a reminder that Jesus is coming again. That Jesus is alive, amen? He's alive, and he's coming again. And just as the prophecies have been true, that have been fulfilled, the prophecies to come will be fulfilled as well. He is coming again. And so, that's what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus being sent to give you and I eternal life. Romans 1 says, the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life.
You can have life through trusting Jesus Christ. And God says, I will take your past regrets, your present problems, and all your future fears. Listen, Christmas is really a celebration of an invasion. It's a close encounter of the God kind of when he came to earth 2,000 years ago, when he split A.D. and B.C. Every time you write a check, you're writing with its reference point. Whether you're a believer or not, you're using Jesus Christ as a reference point every day in your life, or every time that you write a check. You see, if God wanted to communicate with cows, he would have became a cow. If God wanted to communicate with an ant, he would have became an ant. If he wanted to communicate with a dog, he would have became a dog. If he wanted to communicate with a cat, no, he never would have done that. But he wanted to communicate with human beings. So he became human. Became human. Came as a human. Born as a baby. Because you know why? Because no one's afraid of a baby. He came just like you and I, so we could relate with him. Listen, God came. And he came not to scare you. He came to save you. And he came into a world the same way all of us did. And that's through birth. And that's what Christmas is all about. He makes that difference. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save. And while you've been seeking, he's been seeking you. It's no mistake that you're here this morning. Maybe a friend invited you. Maybe it's your first time in a long time. Or maybe you're new just to the area. I want you to know, wise men, wise women still seek Jesus Christ. And I challenge you to be a wise man or woman this Christmas season. Because if you seek him, you'll find him. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you make the choice to give your life to Jesus Christ? How do you do that? Simply this. A, admit. Admit that you need Jesus. Admit that you're a sinner and that the penalty for your sin is death and hell. It is, every one of us. You see, we here at Southside, we're just beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. B is believe. Make the decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you still have questions. That's wonderful. That's good. Nothing wrong with questions. Keep asking them. But make the decision what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. C is confess. Confess that he is Lord. Confess and ask him into your life to forgive you. You can do that here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as those in song, I think we're going to lead us in song, will come up.